And this is the Feast of the Ascension. I feel a little bit like it's graduation day. I say it's graduation day for me personally because as I traveled down Oklahoma Avenue from the bishop's residence, which is at our seminary, I presumed I would get on 794 in order to come here. That's how I do it every Sunday. That's how I do it every time I come to the cathedral. This is the route. This is the way. And the exit was closed. So that left me in a little bit of a panic state. But I knew the cathedral was north of where we were on Lake Drive. So I got back to Double K, Knickknick, and made my way around the side streets. And lo and behold, I arrived. Graduation day. I was able to navigate and negotiate. It reminded me of the time when kind of my kindergarten best friend by the name of Patrick, and our mothers were close friends, when we had graduated from kindergarten, it was our first day in first grade, and we said immediately to our mothers, "We don't want you picking us up." About six blocks away from home, we are now big kids. And the big kids, their mothers don't meet them at the corner as they come out of school. The big kids, they walk home themselves. And Patrick and I were bound to the fact that we were now big kids and we were going to walk home alone. The mothers reluctantly agreed, and of course, Patrick and I, we finished school, we walked out to the corner, and mothers were not there. We smiled on our faces, and we started walking the six blocks home. We negotiated every corner, crossed the streets, went directly to our homes, walked in, and their mother was kind of smiling, said, "Well, welcome home, how was the first day?" and started talking. Really had a sense, both of us, that we had arrived. We were now big kids. We were in charge of our destiny. It wasn't until we were at a party, and it was about seventh grade, two of us together, the families had a party, that we both reflected upon that very moment, that first day of first grade, where we walked home. It was only then that our mothers confessed to us that they were hiding behind cars, in the alleyways, watching every moment of our steps as we made our way and journeyed to our destination, which was home. The reason I say this is we are talking about the ascension and what happens in the ascension. There is, first of all, a real sense of separateness. You know, the apostles and the disciples were so close to Jesus. You know, having him there, even in terms of the resurrected Jesus, a sense that his presence was there always and for them. And now he was no longer going to be with them. A sense of separateness. Think of those moments in your life when there was a sense of separation. It could have been college, marriage. But you knew, in terms of that, your lives would be different. It would be changed radically. But somehow there would be a connectedness to everything that you knew, everything that you taught. There would be a connectedness. But that anxiety, that fear of now understanding you had to separate. We say this because obviously when we take a look at the act of the ascension, the disciples and the apostles were letting go. But Jesus assures them of the mission that they have, a mission that every one of us, and when he offers that mission, certainly it is directed towards the apostles and disciples, but it's directed to everyone who follows the Lord. That our task is to make him present through us, and also to take a look around us and to declare his presence among us. And Jesus gives a tremendous assurance. I am with you now until the end of the earth. I'm with you at all times. I am with you. Just like my best friend Patrick and I walking home, we were not aware of Mom's presence. Only upon reflection, we certainly could understand that they'd never allow us to stray. They'd always give us what was necessary in terms of fulfilling our journey to our destination. And the Lord Jesus Christ does the same thing for us, doesn't he? I mean, just reflect upon us. He gives us a sense, first of all, of church, which he establishes to guide and direct us to lives of holiness. The church is just not an arbitrary assembly or collection of people. The church literally is the body of Christ. And in that body, we see reflections of Christ's presence in the men and the women who have served throughout the last 2,000 years making Christ present. In teaching, in healing, in preaching, in administering the sacraments, everything always drawing us closer to understand Christ's presence among us. And in a particular way, what does Jesus give us? Jesus gives us the Eucharist, an intimate relationship with him. The Eucharist. And it is through that we are joined together in the journey which is towards heaven. For really, that is the ultimate goal for all of us. That is our ultimate destination. Our ultimate destination is heaven. But our task is the mission given to us by Jesus in this life. And that mission will aid us in securing our destination. Our mission is to reflect him. Our mission is to call others to that Lord Jesus. Our mission is to display his love in whatever way, shape, or form that has been given to us in our particular station in life. We don't have to achieve a particular status in the world. We have to achieve the status of holiness, which is what the Lord directs and guides each life to. For that holiness is the connection. Now, Jesus also helps us in the reflection of Matthew's gospel, which seems to be a little strange. When they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. The question, what did they doubt? Did they doubt the Lord who was there before them? Did they doubt themselves in their ability to verify the experience of their relationship with the Lord? And I believe that he gives us that statement, so that we understand the verification of our doubts comes through our commitment to him, our ability to worship. And in that opens our eyes to the understanding that this whole world is not made just of the materiality that we experience, but it's also the declaration of the invisible, the spiritual, which we know makes us whole. When they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. The Lord will give us the confidence. The Lord will entrust us with that gift of faith. The Lord will give to us the ability to verify those experiences, which we know at times can be explained by the world, but which will never be verified for the world for what ultimately they mean. The love that we have in family, the precious gift of friendship that we experience, all those aspects which draw us closer to understanding God's love for us. And perhaps in the Acts of the Apostles, the wonderful statement at the end, when obviously it seems that there are those two angels, you know, those two individuals. And you can probably just picture the disciples and the apostles all kind of looking up. And just in bewilderment, just frozen, taking a look at the heavens, their gaze just fixed upon the heavens. Here the messengers come, and that's what an angel is. An angel is a messenger. You know, we have a lot of messengers in our lives, people who come in and help us and direct us to the Lord Jesus, who guide our ways. Well, here are two definite angels. Here are two individuals who are messengers. And what's the message they give? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going to heaven. So why are you standing around looking up at the sky? He's gonna come back. The job for us is to go out and take the mission he's entrusted us with, and to declare his presence and his love to our brothers and sisters. The ascension means that Jesus has completed his task and turned over the mission to we, his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.